You're listening to Sphera Now, a podcast for environmental health, safety, and quality professionals around the globe. This is brought to you by Sphera, the largest global provider of integrated risk management software and information services with a focus on environmental health and safety, operational risk, and product stewardship. Now, let's get started.
Welcome to Sphera Now. I'm your host, Keith Woodward. And with me today, we have Andy Hosman, our Vice President of Product Management for our Sphera Cloud platform. Thanks for joining, Andy.
Thanks for having me, Keith.
Well, I thought it was a great idea to bring you on today because you've been on the road quite a bit lately. And in fact, you were speaking on a speaking engagement last month in Orlando at the Safety Summit and speaking on the topic of wearables in the workplace. And I know we at Sphera believe it's only a matter of time before we see kind of that transition of wearables in the workplace to help keep workers safe. So before we get into too much detail, Andy, it would be helpful if maybe you can give us a little bit of a background on the evolution of wearables.
Well, as you know, wearables have really started taking off recently, but they're not really a modern idea. Depending on which history you choose to read, the first wearable, if you really want to be technical, was in about the 1280s with eyeglasses, like what you just put on there, Keith. And if you fast forward a little bit, the first watch-like wearable was 1510 with the invention of the Nuremberg egg. Let's just say that Flava Flav has been keeping it really, really old school with a wearable clock. And then abacus rings were the first calculator watches around the 17th century. But if we want to get more modern, the first wearable computer was actually invented in the early 60s, 1961. It was called the roulette shoe. And what it was a thing about the size of a pack of cards that you put in your shoe. And there were some toe switches, and you used at the time the roulette wheel. So these two MIT professors went and tried to game the system and then chickened out before they could really make a whole lot of money. But that was considered the first wearable computer. The first calculator watch was 1975. And as you well know,
I think I had one of those.
I think I did too. They also made video game watches shortly after. But Pulsar and HP made the first calculator watches before Casio became ubiquitous for it. And then Walkmans were the first portable music device in 1979, and that really ushered in the first major quantum change with wearables. You can now bring your music with you for your commute, for exercise, for what have you. You didn't have to, I mean, you weren't going to carry an 8-track with you at the time, so now you had something you can bring with you, and it really changed the way people consumed and listened to music. And then Apple made the next big quantum change there with the invention of the iTunes Store, not the iPod. The iPod was actually an incremental change. Where it just helped improve the quality of the music that was coming through. But they made the ecosystem of the iTunes Store that changed everything. And, of course, the iPhone, as you know it. Now you don't need a separate phone music device or anything. So wearables have followed a similar pattern. We are now seeing wearables all over the place in the consumer market with productivity through smartwatches like the Apple Watch, Bluetooth headsets that we all wear for safety while we're driving, or we should be because it's hands-free here in Illinois. Virtual reality headsets to play better video games, and fitness trackers like your Fitbits and what have you to track your steps and how you're sleeping. And those have come into safety now as well over time. And we have four different real types of wearables for safety and wellness in the workplace right now. We see a lot of startups forming around health and environmental monitoring, augmented reality and virtual reality, real-time communication, and exoskeletons, which I'll talk about in a little bit.
So, yeah, tell me a little bit more about that. How are wearables really changing the game for safety?
Well, right now it's still very early on. We're seeing a lot of startups, not a lot of the bigger companies, Google being an exception, coming into play and trying to develop tools that are going to help make people feel safer in the workplace. One good tool example is SmartCap, which is a hat, like a trucker's hat, that has a device in it that monitors driver's fatigue levels. This was pioneered in Australian mining of all industries. And what it did is it determined for the truckers who were working the overnight shift how likely they were to potentially take a micro sleep or what have you during their shift. And if they hit certain thresholds multiple times in their shift, they were mandated an hour-long nap. And if that didn't happen, you'd have pretty nasty accidents. These are giant trucks in mines. So that's one idea that came into play. And you'd think that that would be a penalty, but no, actually, it improved workplace productivity overall and reduced the number of incidents. Other ideas, John Deere has a VR tool that they use every time they're about to make changes to their production line so that they're able to go out and model what the workers might work, how they might reach, what they might do when they're trying to build new equipment. And they're able to change it on the fly before they implement a whole bunch of machinery, which helps keep the workers safe from ergonomic risk.
That's interesting. Now, we're reading and presenting actually the other day on how fatalities are at an all-time high, while incidents are going down in large organizations, fatalities are really on the rise. So you'd think organizations would be more willing to adopt these newer technologies, these newer smart devices or wearables to help further prevention of these types of injuries or fatalities. Talk to me a little bit about what are some of the cooler related wearables that you see coming across the market today?
There's two I'm going to single out. The two I just already gave are early versions of wearables that are out there. One is called, and I'm going to hopefully get this right, it's the Kinetic Reflex. It's like a pager, essentially, that you put on your belt. And what it does is it monitors how well people are keeping posture or performing proper lifting techniques during the day. So Kinetic went out and piloted this at a distribution warehouse in the Houston area. And for the first week of the pilot, they went out and kept the system off where it wasn't actively monitoring or informing the people who were wearing it what it was doing, but it was tracking a baseline benchmark of how many improper positions were done during the day and what times of day were the worst ones for workers to potentially get into dangerous situations. Can you guess what times of day the workers were in trouble in? Or were not actually focusing on their lifting technique?
End of day, I would guess.
End of day, that's a good guess. It's actually 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. So right before lunch
and right before break.
Right before going home. Yeah. So essentially trying to rush to get everything done right before they had to wrap up for something. So after that first week, they did some better training for their colleagues in terms of monitoring their time and making sure that they weren't rushing or feeling rushed. But week two, they turned on the devices. So what the device would do is if you had an improper position, it would buzz like a beeper and remind you that you just did something that could potentially hurt your back or make it harder on you in the long run. They had one worker there who in the first week clocked 320 high-risk postures a day. That was the worst in the facility and a very high number in general. But after 4 weeks of just having that buzzing on his hip, he knocked that down to just 12 a day. He went from being the worst to the best in the facility just from having that active reminder. And then the big data they got from that helped them to improve their overall safety record. The other device I wanted to talk about, since I mentioned exoskeletons earlier, and this goes towards a little bit of some of the challenges people might have in implementing something in the workplace. Ford partnered with a company called ExoWorks, and what they did is they built an exoskeleton that helps support your arms for overhead positions. So along the assembly line, think of all the times people are reaching up in the air. They're either reaching up with a tool to fasten something to the car or wire something through the doors. And obviously, if you keep reaching over your head and keep doing that type of strain, it's repetitive stress, it's ergonomically difficult, and by the end of the day, you're really sore and you don't have a lot of energy. Well, Ford got behind this, and ironically enough, ExoWorks is based in an old Ford assembly line in California, so it was meant to be, I guess. But the United Auto Workers, got behind it too because they saw a lot of potential for this to be something to really help their workforce. And the results were staggering. Employees were constantly talking about how much more energy they had. They had an interview with one of the gentlemen who said he used to go home and not be able to spend any time with his grandkids because he was just too wiped at the end of the day. And now he was enjoying as much time as he could with his grandkids and feeling like he had a lot to give. So this really improved the quality of life for people at the facility.
That's really cool. Can you tell us a little bit more about what are some of the challenges companies are facing when having to deal or with wanting to deal with implementing safety wearables into the workforce? What are some of these challenges? How do they cope with it?
Well, there's a couple of different ways to look at these challenges. You can look at them as similar to how companies are with investing in new technology or in EHS platforms in general. There's disparate technologies. So right now, especially in the marketplace, it's very fragmented. A lot of startups, a lot of niche players who are specializing in one area or another, and then a lot of integrations needed to help try to bring that data together in a usable format. In fact, there's a data paralysis, which I'll talk about in a minute. Siloed stakeholders. So you've got people at one part of the facility focusing on one thing, people in another focusing on another, and no real concerted effort to bring it all together. And static information. A lot of the wearable technology out there now is reactive as opposed to proactive or really even looking at trends. So you have to run the studies and then go back and learn from them. So those are some challenges with value for them. But if you look at technological and personal, data security and legality is a big technological challenge. Of course, everyone's afraid of being the next big data hack target. And if you're doing this on wearables, there's a lot of personal data there that's at risk. On the personal side, of course, you've got data privacy. Workers are afraid of sharing too much. Even wearing a vest that's supposed to tell you if you're in a safe area of the facility or not, and will light up if you're not, employees are afraid they're being watched constantly. So big fear of Big Brother is a big one for employees. Data paralysis. Once you get all this data and all this real-time information, what are you going to do with it? Technology is still trying to catch up to really being able to monitor that. What kind of skill sets do your people have? Do you have the analytics skill set in-house to make anything of the data? Do you have the right infrastructure, the fog and edge computing that you need to help make this usable for your company? Is it intrinsically safe? A lot of our customers obviously need to worry about that as well. On the personal side, again, there's resistance to change. People have worked a certain way for years. Why do they need this new technology? Is it really going to help them? You know, there's the concept of social proof. If you go through and look at technology adoption, are you on the early adopter side? Are you in the innovator side? Are you a laggard or a late adopter? Are other people around you looking at this and using it and finding it useful? You're not going to do it until you see a bunch of your buddies doing it, for example. And of course, labor unions as well need to be convinced that this is good for their workforce. But if you look at the whole hype curve and concept and social proof concept, wearables right now are what Gartner would say, for safety, I should say, wearables are what Gartner would say is the peak of inflated expectations. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got a lot of great ideas for what they could do, but no one's really bringing it together. And in the Gartner hype curve, that means it's going to fall into the chasm or the trough of disillusionment here. But that's not a bad thing. We're about 3 years away from these really becoming mainstream in the workplace. And what's going to happen over the next few years is a lot of these startups, which have really fantastic ideas, are either going to get invested in or bought up by some of the other companies. And you're going to see platforms emerge. You're going to see a lot of technologies emerge that help customers to make better use of this. Right now, the people who are out there are people who have the ability to spend and take risks because they really want to improve their employees' workforce or their workforce safety, and that's fantastic. But this won't get really mainstream until there's full end-to-end systems, and that's probably 3 to 5 years away.
You know, I'm hearing a lot of, I mean, the amount of data collection that's possible, made possible with wearables, and especially in an organization, is probably, the potential is so great. So how do analytics and big data play into all of this?
Really, it gives you the opportunity to look at this as a predictive risk management exercise. Think of IoT in general. If you're out there and you have sensors on your machinery, after enough time of understanding what causes a breakdown, the big data concept is that, hey, I can predict because of this pattern, there's a 70% chance this piece of equipment is going to need maintenance here soon or I'm in trouble. And you can proactively send out alerts. What about that from a workplace safety standpoint? Can we predict because a certain employee has a number of bad postures during the day, they might be a high risk for an incident? Or if we monitor biometrics, can we predict that an employee is at a high risk of potential exposure or exhaustion? That's what the NFL is doing right now, too, with various devices, and college football as well. They're out there looking at how their athletes' biometrics are stacking up during the day and identifying when their athletes are potentially overstressed, overexerted, need some rest. And it's reducing the amount of soft tissue and other injuries that athletes are having that can knock them out for a game or for a season.
We have time for one last question, and it kind of brings me back to, you know, you as the vice president of product management would know, how does Sphera see wearables playing into our overall integrated risk management strategy?
I think this is really the dawn of EHS 4.0. Really, it's about data-driven predictive risk management and integrating IoT and other devices that can bring a lot of learning to the risk and safety professional. Right now, the way the safety professionals are working, data is there as a tool. It's not really there to help drive the decision-making proactively or predictively. Tools like wearables can help keep employees safer and help bring the focus really on injury prevention up front as opposed to response and learning, which is great. And it's helping reduce the overall overall risks for employees out there for now. But as you pointed out, there's more fatalities, more incidents happening. How do you stop them before they even start? I don't want to make it sound Minority Report because it's not going to get to that point. But at least it gives you an idea of where to invest, how to invest, and get ahead of what your potential risks might be. And on that line, real quick, I do want to point one thing out. Wearables in and of themselves, while they're a fascinating technology, they're not going to be the be-all, end-all solution for employee health and safety. Mm-hmm. It all comes back to culture. And really what you need to make it be is about getting your employees home safely at the end of their shift every day. And wearables are one tool to do it. And it's worth having that conversation and that mission statement out there from the top down in your organization, as well as to your employees, to make sure that you're looking at, they know you're looking out for their well-being and that these are tools to help make that happen.
That's excellent, Andy. Andy, that's all the time we have. It's always great seeing you. Thank you for joining us. And thank you, everyone. And we'll see you next time on Sphere Now.
This concludes this episode of Sphera Now. For more content on topics such as these, we encourage you to visit sphera.com, sphera.com. While there, feel free to click contact and submit feedback on this podcast or suggest topics you'd like to see us cover. Thank you and have a great rest of your day.